Stand and have a word of prayer before we read the text. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to come to this room, gathered in your name, that blessed name. Father, we ask you to help us to understand your word and how to apply it to our lives, that you might get glory. The name of Jesus Christ might be exalted. We pray for little Zemiah that you would have mercy upon her. And Lord, it's not a matter of your power. We know that you're able to heal. We just seek your will in this matter. We pray you'd have mercy upon her and upon her family. And bless us this day if there be anybody in the sound of my voice does not know you, has not been truly born again and saved. May they come to know you as their Savior. We ask your blessing upon your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stay standing and I'll read the text. Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And you may be seated. Some of you have been praying for Janice and I, especially that I might find a job. And I'm currently employed with the U.S. Census Bureau temporarily, but I did have a good interview this past Friday with USAA, with a good opportunity to get into there. And when I walked out of the interview, I thought, looks like I'm going to get hired. But as time progressed, you know how things work in your mind, I'm beginning, well, maybe not. And then Brother Brian speaking this morning, he says, good-looking people get the job, and not... So I'm beginning to have real doubts. But God is a God of miracles, and maybe He'll hear your prayer and overcome the ugliness. All right. We are seeking the Lord's direction, and it's in the Lord's hands, and we're really not worried about it. The Lord has been so faithful to us, and we have every confidence in Him to do the right thing. So we just have to figure out His will. Is the real thing. So, all right, we've read the text, and there's four things I want to do this morning. I wanted to introduce you to this text. I want to give you some general principles and define our terms in this text. I'd also like to demonstrate the dangers of pride. And lastly, I would like to prove that boasting is excluded in our salvation. That is to say, we're saved without the works of the law. So the title of my text is... verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So here's the text. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I haven't really met hardly anyone in all our travels that would acknowledge honestly, without being facetious, that they would say that they're not sinners. Everybody I've met usually would agree that we're sinners. Now, whether they're enough of a sinner to deserve hell, well, that's when the confrontation comes in, because, amazingly, I've met a lot of people that say, I'm a good sinner. And I'm not really sure what that means, whether they sin very well or you know, they're a better sinner than, I don't know, but anyway. But we are all sinners. And that we have all disobeyed the law of God. We've all broken it. No one has kept the law of God. I've met a lot of those that have professed to be atheists, and they would say, I don't need that book to live right. Well, that's true. You don't need the book to live right. And they would add, I believe a man ought to live by their conscience. And I say, you know what? I agree with you. How's it going with you? You see, very few men live, in fact, there's none that live by their conscience. We're all guilty. We've all trespassed our conscience. And then the question is, what is the consequences? Well, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. There are certain consequences. So you offend a holy and righteous God, there must be consequences. And so the Bible says here in our text, for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, we come short of that honor and the praise of God. We haven't reached the goal or the expectations that God would have of us. And we all have come short. And the title of my message this morning is that very verse, where is boasting then? It is excluded. And so to make sure that I was going to say the right things this morning, I decided I better look up some of these words and make sure I have the understanding properly. So I looked up the word boasting, and it means to speak ostentatiously. Don't you just love dictionaries? Now it's all cleared up for everybody here, right? We all understand what boasting is, right? So attempting to impress others. We speak in such a way in order to impress others. In other words, to speak vaingloriously, to extol oneself, to vaunt, to brag of, about, or to glory in. And so the Bible tells us here in this text that boasting, when it comes to our salvation, boasting is excluded. That there's not going to be any way for us to glory in ourselves in our salvation. There's no way that we can speak ostentatiously, that we can attempt to impress others on what we've done. And yet, that is what religion does all around us. Trying to impress others that they're the good sinners, or they're the better sinners. They're the sinners that are not deserving of hell. Those other sinners, those bad sinners, well, they're deserving of hell, but me. And yet, here in our text, it says that type of boasting is excluded. Two notable apostles said in the scriptures, I'll give you James chapter 4, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then no less than the apostle Peter said in chapter 5 of his first epistle, in verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And there's a whole sermon in that little phrase, but we'll go on to that. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Do you know what? Unless you repent of your pride, you are not going to be saved.
Amen.
And pride seems to impede religious people coming to Christ. We have many examples in the scriptures where people began, we have one great example in Luke chapter 18, where we have a man praying and talking about, in his prayer, about how he's better than the other. And yet, in religious people in our day, and hopefully not you, but maybe somebody in this room, has begun to compare themselves to other people. Well, my religion is better than your religion. My religion is older than your religion. My religion has, our denomination has better doctrine than your religion. And what is that but boasting? And the Bible tells us that boasting is excluded. God resists the proud and never rewards the proud. Listen carefully to some of the things I wrote down this morning about what God says about the proud in both Testaments. Listen carefully. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer, saith the Lord. Pride and arrogancy do I hate. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. The day of the Lord shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. There's not anything in the scriptures where God is exalting the proud. He's not going to exalt those that are boasting. And a boasting is excluded from our salvation. No boasting allowed. God resists the proud. This is proven by history. Now, you can read your Bible. You can start in Genesis and read it all the way through the book of Revelation, and you'll notice what happens to the proud. I picked out a few examples. I went back to Babel. Babel, they all had one language. They all got together, thought they'd build a tower. They would reach up into heaven. And you know what the Bible says? They said, let us make us a name. Yeah? When throughout the scriptures, it's His glorious name that we ought to be making and lifting up and praising and extolling. And you know what happened to them? Well, we see the results of Babel. We have Polish and we have Spanish and we have English and we have French and people cannot communicate. We have wars because of that, because of miscommunications, all because of Babel. God resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. How about Pharaoh, who said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Well, we know what happened to Pharaoh. He ended up drowning after his wheel fell off his chariot in the Red Sea. Yeah? God resisted the proud. Nebuchadnezzar, he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And you know what? He ended up walking around as an animal for about 7 years, and he learned a little bit about humility. You'd think his son Belshazzar would have learned something. But old Belshazzar grows up and he becomes a king himself. And listen what the scripture says about Belshazzar. When your father Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up and his mind was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne and he took his glory from him. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. Hear the writing on the wall. God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And he died that night. You know what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those that are proud boasters will find that they're in destruction. Because where is boasting then? It is excluded. There is no boasting in the salvation of God. Not in the Old Testament and not in the New Testament. We have Herod in the New Testament. And upon a set day, Herod the king, arrayed in royal apparel, and sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of God. It is the voice of a God and not of man. And immediately the angel Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. You see, this is what happens to the proud. And boastfulness is excluded from our salvation. You remember the Titanic in more modern times? It was reported, you know, fake news didn't come in our generation. It was been around for a while. It was reported in the fake news of that day that God Himself could not sink this ship. Well, God sank it with an ice cube. Yeah. He took it to the bottom of the sea with an ice cube. Napoleon, before Waterloo, was heard to say to his marshals that were gathered around and their expectations. He gave his expectation of the coming battle at Waterloo, and he said this, we have 90 chances in our favor and not 10 against us. Well, General Wellington brought him low, I should say, yes? And he was later sent out into exile. Yes, so the proud are going to meet destruction. And if you want to be saved, you better be humble. Salvation is not about exalting your name. Salvation is about recognizing the name of the only Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. This to me is a key verse. You see, there are two systems of salvation taught in the world today. I was asked to speak at the University of Warsaw a number of years ago. I was asked to talk about multiple religions. Why are there so many religions? And I got to go into a class of in a university and speak for 1 hour with all the liberty I could have. I was able to speak, and I basically summed up everything. There are basically only two religions in the world. The religion of works and the religion of grace. And unfortunately, most of the religions of the world are found on the side of the religion of works, where they boast about how great they are and what they've done and what they've accomplished. And then on the other side is the religion of grace, where you find, although they are sinners, they're humbled by their sin, and they realize that if God does not give them grace and mercy, there would be no salvation for them. No boasting on this side at all. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Let us read the text in Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, brethren, bear with me. I've been speaking Polish for the last 25 years, and 10 years prior to that, it was Spanish. So maybe my English is getting weak, and I don't remember. But it seems to me to tell me that if you're going to do it by grace, then it's going to be without works. And then if you're going to do it by works, then it cannot be mingled with grace. Did I get the context? Did I understand that correctly? Yeah? This is the problem with religion. Some pretty notable religions in our day. In fact, many churches around us, we could go there and they would say, no, salvation is about grace and works. God gives the grace and we do the works. It's a mingling. You do your best and God will do the rest. I heard one person say. Yeah. No, boasting, all boasting is excluded. Martin Luther said about this text, if thou canst rightly distinguish between works and grace, thank God for thy skill and consider thyself to be an able divine. Because so many people in the world don't understand the difference between grace and works. Look in Ephesians 2:8-9. This is a notable text. Many of you might have these verses memorized. Oh, that all religionists would hear the words of these verses. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest what? Lest any man should boast. Seems to me to say that if salvation is by works, you get to boast. Well, that's logical, right? If you've kept all the law and you've done everything that's commanded of you, you can grab hold of your suspenders and you could get real proud and say, look what I've done. I'm pretty good. I've done a good job, and that's why I'm in heaven. Can you imagine a heaven full of boasters? Can you ever imagine people walking along, hey, Bill? Well, I guess I shouldn't use Bill. Maybe I should use... Well, I'll use Bill. All right. I say, hey, Bill, you and I made it. Ain't we happy? But that crowd over there, they didn't make it. They just weren't as good as you and I were. Something wrong with that picture, don't you see? But that's what people are talking about. They're saying, well, I was baptized, and he wasn't. Well, I went to confession, and he didn't. Well, I was faithful at Lent, and they weren't. Hey, I had the cross on my head, and they didn't. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you, in verse 26 it says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according to it is, as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And there, my friend, is the difference between salvation by works and salvation by grace. Those that are saved by grace, they're not boasting of themselves. In fact, you'll hear them say, I'm the greatest of sinners. I'm the worst of sinners. I'm not deserving. They'll say, only in Him, oh, His mercy, on His grace, oh, His great redemption that He brought upon me. But on this side, they'll say, oh, look how faithful I've been. Oh, our religion is better. Ours is older. Ours is greater. Ours is purer. We got a better translation. We got a better baptism. Yes. It's all about them on this side, and it's all about Jesus on that side. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Every once in a while in the Bible, if you read the Bible, God seems to give us a little glimpse of heaven through a window of Scriptures. In every window that I was able to find in the Scriptures, when it gave us an open window to see what was going on in glory, you know what? The angels are singing up there, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. And they're giving praise to God. Yeah. And nobody in heaven is giving praise to Mary. That's right. Nobody in heaven is giving praise to Moses. Nobody in heaven is giving praise to the thousand about how they were faithful and how they were they obeyed the law. No, they're giving praise to Him who showed mercy and grace. And yet when we think about religion, I don't know, maybe your religion, a lot of boasting, a lot of bragging, a lot of pride. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, these principles that I'm mentioning are not something that were new to the New Testament. We had a discussion the other night at the fireside chat about salvation and, you know, was it a little bit different in the Old Testament and whatnot. I can assure you, my brethren, that salvation in the Old Testament and salvation in the New Testament was by grace. And I can assure you that in both Testaments, boasting was excluded. And I'm going to do that at this very moment. Look, I want to look, if you will, at a few verses with me. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, sounds like Paul, doesn't it? Let him glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. In fact, in Matthew 23, our Lord Himself made a statement to the Pharisees who were quite, well, they were sort of infamous in the fact that they would brag about how faithful they were to the letter of the law. And how often they fasted, and how often they prayed, and how their doctrine was much better than the doctrine of the Sadducees. That they did indeed believe in the resurrection, and they did indeed believe in the right God. And yet here we find the Lord Jesus saying in Matthew 23 and 23, Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other done. Did you know that without faith it is impossible to please God?
And the Pharisees and so many religious people like them, and I'm not going to make the judgment as our Lord did here. He called them hypocrites. He knew them. He knew what was in their hearts. I'm not in the position to make that judgment, because I found that a lot of religious people that I've met are very sincere in their religion. They're very devout. They're very zealous. In fact, in their religious efforts, they put me to shame sometimes in their devotion and that they've done. We had a brother one time, he would mock the nuns that would come by and their outfits. I won't say what he said, but he would make fun of them. And I said, you know, brother, I don't think we ought to be making fun of them. I mean, how many of us have been willing to give up all our worldly pleasures to dress as a nun, to say the prayer so many times a day? You know, what kind of devotion do we have? You know, my devotion, it should be so much more, and yet it's a far short even comparison to this religious nun who's very devout in her worship. We need to be careful, because some people put so much emphasis on things and make comparisons which the Scriptures tell us is not wise. Look at Romans in chapter 2 and verse 28. God praises that which is created in the heart, a new man, a clean heart, a new birth. And He does not praise the works of the flesh. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Did you notice where the praise was? The praise was from God to those that were circumcised in the heart and not in the flesh, not in the outwardly. I believe Brother Kincaid's going to enjoy this next example. General Curtis LeMay, old iron pants. I worked with a coworker who worked was in Alaska. I don't know if he worked with you, Brother Lindell, but he was in Alaska and the General LeMay would fly in. He says, everywhere General LeMay, we've always wondered if General LeMay wasn't a little bit dizzy from all the paint he smelled. Because when they found out he was coming, everything got a paint job. I mean, they're painting everything because the general's coming. What were they doing? They didn't have that new paint when he wasn't around. They're putting a show on where the general's coming, yeah? The general's coming for inspection, so we got to get everything up to snuff, right? We got to make it look good. And everywhere he went, he must have thought the whole army or the whole Air Force, everything was new. Yeah, because everything was painted with new stuff. And religious people are like that, right? They make the outward the emphasis so that people can see and so they can brag about what they're doing. We have examples in the New Testament where some people pray on the corner, not so that they might glorify God, so they might get the praise of men. They want to be able to boast. But the salvation that we have seen in the Scriptures, boasting is excluded. And this is not a new doctrine that Paul was teaching. I think Paul was bringing clarity to the Scriptures that people had overlooked for centuries, just as our Lord did. Look in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16. The Lord says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. And there was that commandment, right? The great commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind and all thy heart and all thy soul. And yet God demanded for that to happen a circumcised heart. The spiritual was the emphasis and not the outward. And that circumcision is made without hands, Paul tells us in the book of Colossians. Jeremiah chapter 4, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Ezekiel, that great prophet, in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 31, he says, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Do you see that God is putting the emphasis on the inward and not the outward? And the inward is that working of God made without hands, that circumcision that man cannot do, that only God can do. And God, there's no boasting in that. We can only give glory to God for His mercy. The psalmist said in Psalm 51 and verse 10, his prayer was, O Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Later on he says, for thou desirest not sacrifice. With all the sacrifices going on in his day, thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. I've convinced myself that those were sufficient enough scriptures to show you that God has always been interested in the heart. Therefore, let us return to our text in Romans chapter 3. And let's read it again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, this His righteousness, that He might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In case you missed it, even if it were possible for you to keep the law, you're still guilty. Amen. It's not good enough. The fact is, none of us have kept the law. Amen. All of us have come short of the glory of God. None of us kept it. And the law was not given with the intent for you to keep and then say, I kept it. The law was given to show you your responsibility and thus exposing you to your own responsibility. You should see how short you have fallen, that you should cry out and say, Oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. In fact, in the very text we're reading, if you go back to verse 19, it says, Now we know that the things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. As if God's intent was, from the very beginning, that there would be no boasting in His presence. What does our text say today? Where is boasting then? It is excluded. God's intent was to exclude boasting in salvation, that all the glory might be in Him, because He alone is worthy. And so God gave the law, not so you could grab hold of your suspenders and say, Oh, look how faithful I've been. God gave the law to shut your trap, if I can put that in the modern vernacular. He wanted to shut your trap. He didn't want you going around talking about how great your church is, how great your denomination is, how historical your religion is. He put the law there as a mirror to show you, you know what? You're ugly and you ain't getting the job. As Brother Brian mentioned.
that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, in conclusion, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look at there, right on time. That's it. You got it. There's a period at the end of that verse. Did you get it?
Amen.
Let me close with this. I know that most of us here, we've been reading the Bible for a long time, and these are not new doctrines. We saw the light, as some would say, by the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
But there may be some here that were like all of us at one time, maybe searching, maybe in doubt, maybe in wonderment, maybe confused. I was brought up in a home without any religious influence that I could see. I mean, we didn't go to church. I wasn't baptized in that sense. And the only religious influence that I had was we would thank the Lord for the food before we ate it. We would say a little ditty, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for the food, amen. That was my contact with religion. So I didn't understand religious terms or even biblical terms of salvation, redemption, forgiveness. I didn't understand these terms. And when a young lady asked me when I was 16 years old, Brent, aren't you saved? My response was, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she opened up the scriptures and began to explain to me that I could be delivered from the wrath to come. That I could be delivered from the guiltiness of my sin. That I could be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. That I could have the peace of God in my heart. So, the question is, how can I be saved? How can I be assured that I'm going to go to heaven to be with God and not into eternal hell? Well, boasting has been excluded. So any pathway that leads to boasting, you can be sure it's not that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Boasting is excluded by the law of faith. God is looking for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you place your confidence in Him and take it from yourself and from your religion and from your sacraments and you place it all in Christ, there is where you find salvation. For it is written, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand and sing. I don't know, what are we going to sing? Anybody have a hymn?
252.
If the Lord has spoken to you this morning,